Good morning. Welcome to Birch Ridge Community Church. My name is Milton. I'm really glad that you're here today as we wrap up this small, short time of talking through God's will. Is it my will or thy will? Are we going to be about chasing after our own wants and desires, or are we going to be about chasing after God's plan and purpose for our lives? That's the question that we must answer today. I'm going to ask you to help me recite our family declaration. It will be on the screen here, and then we'll look at some scripture. Everybody ready? Here we go. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Therefore, I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you have a Bible, please open it up to Isaiah. If you just kind of open up about in the middle, you're going to kind of be pretty close to a major prophets there. And we're going to be in Isaiah chapter 14. We're going to look at a few verses there, and then we'll jump into the New Testament all the way to the right. And then we'll be back at the beginning at the left too. So wherever. Isaiah chapter 14 is where we'll begin in verse number 12. It says, "How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." If we were to summarize the mission and the heartbeat of Lucifer, I think we could do it in two words, don't you? Anybody have a guess? I will, right? I will. Lucifer was kind of an I will kind of guy, wasn't he? He was kind of a my will. But on comparison, if we look at Jesus Christ, say, in the Garden of Gethsemane, in this Holy Week. Remember, he's in the garden, and he's praying, and he says, "Father, not my will, but thy will be done." I think we could summarize the heartbeat of Jesus with two words also, don't you? Anybody guesses? Thy will, right? And that's what we have to look at today. See, Lucifer wanted everybody to worship him. Jesus wanted everyone to worship his Father. Lucifer wanted his will. Jesus wanted the will of his Father. And that battle, y'all, that battle rages even today in the minds and the hearts and the lives of every born-again believer. It does. That battle between light and darkness, between right and wrong, between good and evil, rages inside each and every one of us. Will it be my will or thy will? We're gonna break that down a little bit today, but I want us to consider three phases, if you will, three stages of Christian maturity toward complete surrender. I've been having some conversations with my wife the last couple weeks about the word holiness. We've been talking about how do you teach the pursuit of holiness to a generation that has come to believe that holiness is sinlessness, is spiritual perfection. How do you, and the word that just keeps coming to our minds is the word surrender. Like holiness, it literally means to be set apart for a specific purpose. Like you can't have one foot in and one foot out. Holiness is completely consecrated, set apart. And to me, the most effective word that I think we could use is the word surrendered. Like everything about me is completely surrendered. It's not my will, but thy will. Whatever it is, whatever you want to do, wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do, whatever you want me to say, my answer to you is, Lord, is yes. Now, what's the question? Right? Complete surrender. And so I want us to look at three phases or stages to a life that is completely, totally surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus. The first one is this: you want what you want now, right? You want what you want, and you want it now. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands because I don't want any of y'all to lie to me, okay? But I would contend that each and every one of us has some of that brewing inside of us. Like, to some degree, to some level, at some extent, each and every one of us has this, I want what I want. Y'all, you can't even think about lying to me. You know it's true, right? We all do. We all want things. And sometimes we want it now, and we want it our way. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Watch this. Go back to the garden. Jesus is in the garden. And in essence, what he's saying to the Father is this: I want that. I don't want this. Like, if there is any other way, if there's any other plan out there, I'm all ears, right? I don't want that. There's nothing wrong with saying, I want. As long as you end up with, yet not my will, but thy will be done. Each and every one of us has this battle raging inside of us where we want what we want, and we want it now. There's a great example of this in the scripture back in the Old Testament, all the way to the left, clear to the first book in Genesis, chapter 16. There's a guy named Abram and his wife Sarai. Now, a little bit later, God changes their name to Abraham and Sarah. But at this moment, they're Abram and Sarai. And God has told Abram, my boy, you're going to have lots of kids. You're going to have a great big family. You're going to have descendants like you can't even count. They're going to be so many. They're going to be like stars in the sky or sand on the seashore. You're going to have descendants. Trust me. And so Abram goes to Sarai, and he's like, we're going to have kids, baby. It's going to happen. Just be patient. Well, they're patient, and they wait, and they wait. And we pick up in Genesis chapter 16 in verse number 1. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had not been able to bear children for him, but she had an Egyptian servant named Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, the Lord has prevented me from having children. Isn't that interesting? Go and sleep with my servant. Perhaps I can have children through her. And Abram agreed with Sarah's proposal. Whoops. That's story in itself captures the very essence of the philosophy that we're talking about. I want what I want, and I want it now. That decision, listen, you go back and you study the scripture and the genealogy and what happened. That decision right there affected the entire world history. That decision of Abram sleeping with Hagar produced Ishmael. And if you follow that and track that, you'll find the Muslim nation. Where's the wars been? Between the Christians and the Muslims. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, that decision affected the entire history of the world. I got to tell you, I carry around a bucket with me. It's filled with things where I've done things I want, and I want it now. I've got a whole bucket of things. And they all left scars and marks and damage and just a mess. All kinds of things. Because honestly, I'm kind of a selfish person sometimes. I want what I want, and I want it now. You're the same. To some extent, to some level, we all have that. Now, I am a slow learner. But the bucket doesn't get filled up nearly as quickly as it used to, okay? But I am a slow learner. I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm getting there. I'm getting a little better. Each year goes by. But it's still a problem. I still carry the bucket. We all have that. Listen, we talked about this last week even. We have this natural bend towards sin. We're not good people, and sometimes we do bad things. We're naturally bent towards sin, and sometimes we do good things. Our natural bend is, I want my way, I want it now, I want it, right? We go back, look at the toddlers. We can't condemn them. We eventually start disciplining them and teaching them the different way. But what, when they're that age, when they're toddlers, what are they? I want my, right? I want it and I want it now. Right? Some of us just haven't grown up. The problem is that we live in a country that has this theology, this thinking that what's the most important is my happiness, not holiness. We think that the bottom line is my happiness. And if I'm happy, well, God is good. And if I'm not happy, forget God, forget his church, forget his people. Right? Is it going to be my will or thy will? The problem with that theology, the American thinking that life is all about happiness, the problem with that is as I open up my Bible and as I search the scriptures, I don't find anything in here where God says, what I really want is for you to be happy. But over and over and over and over, I find where he says, I want you to be holy. Seek holiness, not happiness. Does that make sense? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21 says, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. I say it all the time. We make our plans, but God's purposes prevail. You know, you can do all is I want, but we got to get to the place where not my will, but thy will be done. So what's it going to be for you? Are you going to continue to be a person that chases after your own wants and desires, or are you going to chase after God's heart? Are you going to be about your plans or God's purposes? Is it going to be your will or God's will? We have to, that's phase one. We're all there at some point to some degree and level. That's where we start off. You want what you want and you want it now. Now, if there's just a tad bit of Christian maturity in there, you're going to church, right? You're studying the scriptures, you're involved, you're growing and you're maturing and learning and all that stuff. At some point, you're going to get to a place where you graduate to phase two, where it's not like, I want what I want and I want it now. You get to phase two, where phase two is, you want what God wants. But, right? You want what God wants, but, I mean, this is the place where we really truly want what God wants, but there's some fine print, God, we want you to read. Okay? I want what you want, but there's some conditions that I'm going to lay out here in order for that to happen. We want what God wants, but there's a great example of this in the scripture. In Mark chapter 10, we see where Jesus is having a conversation with this guy. He's known as the rich young ruler. He's a rich young entrepreneur type. And I want you to hear this. He's been watching Jesus and his disciples. He's been watching what's happening. He sees the unity and the growth that's happening. And he's like, I want to be part of that. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to go where you're going. I want to do what your boys are doing. I want to be part of this. This is where it's happening. I want this. And Jesus is having this conversation with this guy. And at some point, Jesus is like, he starts picking up on it. And at some point, he's like, he hones in on it. And I want you to hear something really carefully. The problem wasn't that this rich young guy had lots of money at all. That's not the problem. The problem was his money had him. The problem wasn't that this rich young guy had lots of stuff. He had the boats and the cars and the motorcycles, and I'm going to rebel for a minute, snowmobiles. He had all these things. That's not the problem. The problem was these things had him. And Jesus came right to the point, right to the heart of the matter. Because I want you, don't forget, this guy wanted to follow Jesus. He really wanted God's plan and will. He wanted to. But, Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. Looking at the man, Jesus felt love for him. There's still one thing you haven't done, he told him. Go and sell all, say all. Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, sure, come follow me. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away very sad. Why? For he had many possessions. We read into that wrong. His possessions had him. Jesus said, you get to the heart of it. Here's what you want to do. Here's what you need to do. It's not like, I want what you want, but I've got some conditions. Jesus said, no. You want to follow me? That's great. I want you to follow me. There's one thing you're lacking, though. Go and sell everything you've got. But he's like, I'm sure he probably had the conversation, but like, Jesus, if I keep it and I take it with us, man, enough of this eating on the shore. We can go into fancy restaurants. I'll foot the bill for all this stuff. I want to go with you and the boys. We can do all this cool stuff, and I got all this stuff I'll bring with me. We'll go load it up in the trailer. And Jesus is like, no. I am everything you will ever need. You just don't realize it yet. Sell all of that stuff and give it to the poor. Then you can follow me. And what happened? He turned his back on the Lord. He put his face down and he turned around and he walked away from the Savior of the world. Do y'all realize that? Because his stuff had him. It had him. Don't make a mistake about this. He wanted to follow Jesus. But he wanted it on his conditions. He wanted it on his terms. And Jesus will not have it. Now, if you ask me, and this is just my humble opinion, the problem, the number one problem in our self-centered, self-serving country of America that we live in, and the churches within America, including this one, lies within that statement. Because I think every one of us, we want God's will. We really want God's will. But, and I want you to hear me. And I want you to receive this with all the love I can muster up. Preacher loves you. It's going to be all right. You will never experience all of God. You will never experience all that God has for you until you get the but out of the way. There's no room for it. We want what God wants, but I want to do it this way. But I've got conditions. But I've got some small print. But You can never, God is never going to take you to the places he wants to take you. You're never going to experience the fullness of Christ as long as you've got a butt in the way. I don't know if that was planned or not. It just came out kind of weird. All through Scripture, we see example after example after example of this. All the way back, all the way to the left side of your Bible in Genesis. The first story in the Bible, Adam and Eve. They walked with God in the cool of the day. They wanted to experience that. They wanted to continue to walk with God in the cool of the day, every day, forever. But they also wanted to eat that forbidden fruit. Jonah, he wanted to be a preacher. He wanted to be a servant of God. But he didn't want to go preach to those yucky Ninevites. David wanted to live up to that man after God's own heart, but he also wanted to love Bathsheba. And it plays out in our everyday life as well. We want what we want. We want it now. Maybe we'll graduate to, I want what God wants, but there's some conditions. But this is the way I am, God. If you want me, this is the way you got to take me. What is it for you? That's the mentality. Watch this. This is the mentality. And Paul's talking about this in a moment. This is the mentality that he's talking about. This, God, you should, I'm quite a gift. You should just be thankful. I'm ready to go along on the ride with you. Boy, you got blessed when you got me, God. I mean, isn't that kind of, I mean, who would ever say that out loud? But isn't that how we're acting when we say, hey, God, I'll follow you, but here's the conditions. I'll go anywhere you want, just not Africa, right? There's an old song about that, right? I'll do what you want me to do as long as it's not that. I'll go here as long as I can bring this. We put these conditions, and Paul is talking about this in Titus chapter 1 and verse 16. This is the kind of situation he's talking about. Watch this. Such people claim they know God, but they deny him by how they live. May that not be us. May that not be us. I want what I want, and I want it now. God, I want what you want, but there's some conditions. And phase three is the place where I pray that we all are, or at least will come to this place in the very, very, very near future. And that is, you want what God wants, period. You want what God wants, period. No comma, but nothing. No ifs, ands, and definitely no buts. You want what God wants, period. So here's this rich young ruler. He comes along and he's like, hey, I want to go along on the ride. I want to go with you guys. I want to do what you do. Jesus says, I want you to as well. Here's what you need to do. He laid out a stipulation. He laid out a condition. If you want to come with me, this is what you're going to have to do. He does the same thing with us today. And he comes out with an expectation in Scripture, and he invites us to come, but he says, here's how you got to come. You want to come be a follower of mine? I want you to. I'm inviting you to. But here's the condition. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. You know, one of the saddest commentaries to that is I believe there is a majority of Christ followers today that hear that invitation. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And I would contend the majority of people who call themselves Christ followers today will drop it, turn around, and walk away. The cost is just too high. You don't know what you're asking me to do, Lord. Like, I've got all this. I've worked so hard for this. This is my life. Look at the empire I have built. It's just not convenient. It's too costly. It's not comfortable. The timing's not right. And we make excuse after excuse after excuse. And Jesus says, this is the way it is. You're not the one that gets to put conditions. I'm the one who puts conditions. You want to follow me? That's great. I want you to follow me. But if you're going to be a true follower of mine, here's what you got to do. Deny yourself. What does that mean? Surrender. Total, complete surrender. You can't have a foot in and a foot out and be walking with the Lord and pleasing him. You can't. Stop fooling yourself. Don't let any preacher tell you that either, because they're lying. You cannot have a foot in the world and one in the kingdom and think you're pleasing the Savior by he's just lucky to get what I'm giving him. It doesn't work that way. Jesus is like, I made you. I didn't make you to have a family and a career and a bunch of toys. I created you to worship me. What are you going to do with that? You're going to have to square with God with that. He created you to worship, not to have this stuff to build your little kingdom, to think that this is all there is. Praise God, this is just a little while. No matter how beautiful and the most scenic, the most calm, the most wonderful, the most pleasant, the most exotic moment of your life will pale compared to eternity, that moment that we look Jesus face to face, eye to eye, and he says, well done. Enter into this kingdom that I have prepared for you. Don't get caught up in this. My will or thy will? I want what I want, and I want it now. Okay, God, I want you what you want, but can I put some conditions on there? To a place where we're like, you know what? It's total surrender. God, I want what you want, period. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I am yours. You are the creator. I am the creation. Oh, my answer to you, Lord, is yes. Now, what's the question? We have to get to that place. Question, do you want to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus? And I would say, we all would answer, of course. I want to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus. I want to. We all got the want to. But do we have the determination to surrender everything else? Want to will only take you so far. Surrender will take you into the kingdom of God. Because when you do that, when you reach a moment of a complete surrender, I promise you, God is going to do some things in your life that that'll blow your mind. He'll do some things in your life that is beyond anything you could imagine. He'll do some things in your life that you couldn't do on your own. He'll take you to some places you can't get to on your own. But you'll never experience that as long as you have a but in the way. The only but that's allowed is this one. Not my will, but thy will be done. Let's close with a very beautiful, perhaps familiar passage, verse of scripture in the Psalm 37:4. Beautiful, beautiful verse. It has confused a lot of people for a lot of generations. The verse says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. You see, something happens here. When you actually surrender, that it's not about, you get past the I want, and you get past the God, I want what you want, but, and you just get to the place of God, I want what you want, period. And you get to that point of surrender, and you seek and chase after the heart of God, something happens. You see, when I was like 14, when I knew that I was going to join the Air Force, I was going to serve 20 years, and I was going to retire at the age of 37, and I was going to fish, golf, and take life easy. That was my master plan. My will. And I always thought, you know, when I entered into the ministry, then I'm like, well, I don't get to retire at 37. I did retire from the Air Force at 38 or so with 20 years, but I'm not fishing and golfing, taking life easy. What happened? Because I still had some conditions. God, I'm going to do this, but you're going to have to do this, right? And without me even realizing, God is so amazing. Delight yourself in the Lord. I just started chasing after the heart of Jesus. I started chasing after, like, God, I want you. I want to know you. I want to experience you. I want to feel you. I want to see you. I want words to jump off the page at me. And I began to just find delight in chasing after his heart. Does that make sense? And something happened. I would go as far as saying something supernatural happened. My desires became his desires. I still got my golf clubs in the basement, but they haven't left the bag in probably 7 years. Maybe someday, I don't know. It just doesn't have the pull that it used to. I used to play golf probably 5 times a week. I played in the Air Force on a league. That was a 3 handicap once upon a time. I haven't picked up a club in 7 years. Something supernatural happened where I started delighting myself in everything about God, and he supernaturally snuck in there and changed all of my desires to his desires. That's how that verse works. At least that's how it works in my world. And I believe that's what he wants you to hear this morning. Delight yourself also in the Lord. Chase after the heart of God with everything you have. Leave everything behind. It's not worth holding on to. Chase after the heart of God with everything you have. And it says he will give you your heart's desires. You know why? Because the longer you chase after his heart, his desires become your desires. And he's going to give you what you want, because what you really want is to please him with every aspect of your life. Amen? May that be our heartfelt prayer today. May that verse go home with you. And may you meditate on it and feed on it. feast on it. Because I know that's what you want. But you have to get past the want to do something about it. You have to do more than want it. The rich young man wanted it. But we all have to get rid of those. We have to get past the want to. And God say, I'll do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to chase after your heart. It's not my will, but thy will be done.